Tonight, Sunday Night Live unveils the hidden truths behind today's headlines. With your host, Chase Geyser.
Be in no doubt, those that have participated in this violence will face the full force of the law. The police will be making arrests. Individuals will be held on remand. Charges will follow and convictions will follow. I guarantee you will regret taking part in this disorder, whether directly or those whipping up this action online and running away themselves. This is not protest. It is organised, violent thuggery. And it has no place on our streets or online. Right now, there are attacks happening on a hotel in Rotherham. Marauding gangs intent on law-breaking, or worse. Windows smashed. Fire set ablaze. Residents and staff in absolute fear. There is no justification, none, for taking this action. And all right-minded people should be condemning this sort of violence. People in this country have a right to be safe. And yet, we've seen Muslim communities targeted, attacks on mosques, other minority communities singled out, Nazi salute street, attacks on the police, wanton violence alongside racist rhetoric. So no, I won't shy away from calling it what it is, far-right thuggery. To those who feel targeted because of the colour of your skin or your faith, I know how frightening this must be. I want you to know that this violent mob do not represent our country, and we will bring them to justice. Our police deserve our support as they tackle any and all violent disorder that flares up. Whatever the apparent cause or motivation, we make no distinction. Crime is crime, and this government will tackle it. Thank you. So, two questions, Rob.
Yes, we've seen a hotel being set fire to and another instead being broken into. Can you say that the policing operation has been a success? And what more can the government do to stop this?
Well, as a government, we've had meetings all weekend and in the latter part of last week with law enforcement, with police, to make sure the necessary support and arrangements are in place. We do have standing arrangements for law enforcement, which means that we can get arrests, charged, remands in custody and convictions done very quickly. I myself was part of that in 2011 when I was Director of Public Prosecutions, and I'm determined we will do whatever it takes to bring these thugs to justice as quickly as possible.
And do you believe everyone that is taking part in this disorder is part of the far right? And do any of the scenes we are seeing at the moment give you pause for thought about divisions in the country or how you approach other broader domestic policy areas?
If you target people because of the colour of their skin or their faith, then that is far right. And I'm prepared to say so. But it doesn't matter what apparent motivation there is. This is violence. It is not protest. It doesn't matter what the motivation is. The motivation for the vast majority of people in this country is to see their streets safe. And that's what I'm determined that we will deliver. Thank you.
Prime Minister, is it possible that tougher sentences could be given out to rioters as they were in 2011 to act as a deterrent?
I think there needs to be the full force of the law, and I think it needs to be swift. What happened in 2011 was that we were able to see individuals who took part in violence, arrested, charged, remanded and convicted very swiftly. Standing arrangements are in place for that, and we will do whatever it takes to ensure that the message is absolutely clear that if you're taking part in this violence, you will regret it, and you'll be brought to justice as quickly as possible. Thank you very much.
digital frontier. I tried to picture clusters of information as they move through the computer. What do they look like? Ships, motorcycles? Were the circuits like freeways? I kept dreaming of the world I thought I'd never see. And then, one day, I got in.
Welcome back to Sunday Night Live, ladies and gentlemen. I am Chase Geiser, your host for the next couple of hours. It is an honor and a pleasure to be with you. We are going to be covering the news for the next 54 minutes, and I believe we will be taking calls in the final hour today. So please keep your phones nearby, be thinking about what you want to say, and I'll let you know when we've opened up the lines for you to get in the queue. Now, we have Politico claiming that Trump may use the assassination attempt to gain power like Mussolini. An opinion piece published by far-left outlet Politico claims former President Donald Trump may try to gain power by exploiting the assassination attempt against him as Italian dictator Benito Mussolini once did. Quote, assassination attempts are an effort to change a political order in one fell swoop, but history shows that they often backfire and more often serve not to eliminate a strong man, but to strengthen him and his cult of personality. Mussolini showed how that's done, wrote New York University history professor Ruth Ben-Ghiat on Saturday. So they're totally disregarding the fact that this assassination was entirely inappropriate. They're denying or ignoring the notion that there was some deep state responsibility for it, even though all the evidence suggests that there was. And we're going to get into clip after clip of how we know, why we think the deep state was behind this, all in addition just to historical context of these assassination attempts always seeming to be the deep state, whether it's JFK or others, of what the CIA did and discovered through MKUltra that allows them to take these lone wolves and trigger them to do these operations so that even if they're caught or arrested or anything's learned about them, there's plausible deniability or they seem totally disconnected from the mafia state apparatus itself. But one piece, one reason to really suggest that the leftists and the deep state are behind this is when you see clip after clip or example after example of leftist civilians, just general people approached in the population, saying that they wish that he had been killed. I mean, we know that the left wants Trump dead, and by extension, they want you dead. We know that they're doing things like creating plans for concentration camps here in the United States akin to the internment camps that were used in World War II, but this time it's not to lock up those who are perceived as a threat to national security in a war with a foreign nation. It's to lock up patriots or political dissidents domestically and to re-educate them so that this country can become a one-state government, and then once one party is taken over, then they can totally sell our country out to globalism itself. So they have to consolidate power here into a tyranny first, and then once they have total ownership of our nation in every capacity, that's when they can give it over, sacrifice it entirely in a perfect way in their satanic eyes to the globalist agenda, and their plan will be complete. But this is clip number six here. This is a woman who was approached in public saying that she wishes that the assassination attempt on Trump would have been successful. Please play it.
So Donald Trump was recently shot at one of his rallies. How do you feel about that?
I wish he would have gotten shot in the forehead.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, he's basically, like, teaching our country, like, what communism is like, so.
So you wish death upon someone?
Him, yeah, unfortunately. I hate to say that because I don't have hatred in my soul at all. But I think the way that our country has divided families, marriages, all of it about politics alone, like, it all really started with him, so. I mean,
so do you think wishing someone death is not hateful?
I would say, yeah, absolutely. I would say, obviously, I don't wish death upon him. I wish that he would be in jail for But she just said that she wished he was shot in the forehead.
Now she's okay. backpedaling.
Yeah,
she
but you just said you wished
retarded.
That he would get hit in the forehead.
Wouldn't have made things a little easier on our country. But actually, really, probably wouldn't it because the Proud Boys would come out and start probably shooting other people, so.
The Proud Boys?
Yeah.
Do you think that, like, 60% of the country are the Proud Boys that support Trump?
No, I think a lot of it is, you know, wealthy people that only care about the finances and, you know, there's a lot of ignorance, I think, in this country and a lot of fake news.
She's demonstrated
and,
that.
A lot of just unhealthy, like, bias and political propaganda as a country.
Okay.
Because we don't have a good runner at all. So, yeah.
And now we've seen, as a result of this assassination attempt on Trump, many fascinating things. First of all, we saw the censorship on Meta's platforms, Facebook and Instagram, of the image of Trump holding up his fist and saying, fight, fight, fight. And apparently, Zuck actually called Trump to apologize for that. We're going to run clip number 29 in a second here. But in addition to this weird censorship, this denial, claims that the shooter was a right-wing radical coming from the Pacmans of the world, these influencers. I'll show you that clip too. We've seen that Secret Service totally dropped the ball, to say the least. So the actual failure from Secret Service was they were compromised and they meant to see this assassination through. They meant for him to die. That was the real failure. And now they're passing off what happened as a failure of security. We've gotten rid of Cheadle. We didn't know that he had a gun. They're saying all these things that are just not true. It's very obvious that the deep state was behind this and wanted this to happen. And it wasn't just a result of incompetence that this happened, but the institutions itself, the institution itself at the highest level, whether it's the Secret Service, the CIA, the deep state itself, our government is totally compromised and corrupted. And not every member of an organization has to be corrupted in order for that organization to be compromised. You understand? Not everybody who works for the CIA is an evil person. Not everybody who works for the deep state in all of its manifestations is an evil person, but it's compromised to such an extent that it's controlled by the evil people. So we have these useful idiots or these unwilling participants involved in these organizations. I don't think everybody in the Secret Service knew what was going on that day, knew that Donald Trump was to be assassinated that day. I don't think every Secret Service agent in the United States of America was in on it, but I think all of the leadership at the highest levels, all of those in charge making decisions, making orders, forcing stand-downs, those are the only compromised entities that you need to accomplish something like this. But here in clip number 29, let's unpack Zuck calling Trump, and then we're going to get into some of the clips this week from Secret Service and deep state leadership about their defense of what happened. They're walking back, walking away from any culpability or responsibility for allowing this to happen. But clip number 29 first.
Mark Zuckerberg calls me. First of all, he called me a few times. He called me after the event and he said that was really amazing. It was very brave. And, you know, and he actually announced he's not going to support a Democrat because he can't, because he respected me for what I did that day. I think what I did maybe was a norm. To me, it was a normal response. But I was called by Mark Zuckerberg yesterday, the day before, on this same subject. And he actually apologized. He said they made a mistake, et cetera, et cetera, and they're correcting the mistake. Google, nobody called from Google.
So we got a statement at Fox Business from Google. They said this fact check was initially applied to a doctored photo showing the Secret Service agents smiling. And in some cases, our systems incorrectly applied that fact check to the real photo. It has been fixed. We apologize for the mistake. Both companies have been under fire all week. Both say this was not deliberate. And one of the things that we're learning now is that really AI doesn't seem to be very reliable when it comes to breaking news. And the rest of that interview was
so there you
Mr.
go.
Trump.
All these artificial intelligence systems are in place to try to control the narrative around what happened to Donald Trump because they know that it was incredibly good for his campaign that he demonstrated such bravery and survived the attempt. And now they're trying to associate him with Mussolini because they don't want him to be able to use the fact that they tried to kill him as a reason to encourage voters to vote for him. It's the only reason anybody really needs. If the deep state tries to kill a political opponent or a political dissident who's leading in the polls, that's all the evidence anybody should ever need to trust or support or vote for that person. All of the world's supervillains hate Donald Trump. And so they're trying to undermine his ability to use this in order to get into office. They tried to kill him first, but here is Director Roe in clip number 35 saying that Secret Service wasn't aware of some very important and interesting details surrounding the shooter on that day, July 13th, 2024.
6 p.m., former President Trump took the stage to begin remarks. And based on what I know right now, neither the Secret Service counter-sniper teams nor members of the former president's security detail had any knowledge that there was a man on the roof of the AGR building with a firearm. It is my understanding that personnel were not aware the assailant had a firearm until they heard gunshots.
Unbelievable. And we know that's simply not true because we've seen videos of people screaming and pointing at the shooter with a gun on the roof saying, "Shooter on the roof! Shooter on the roof!" We're going to show clip 12 next. This is Clint Russell. Clint Russell is the host of Liberty Lock Pod. I highly recommend that you follow him on X. He's one of the smartest, most genuine people that I've ever interacted with. When I was podcasting in the very beginning, he was gracious with coming on my show, taking my calls, answering questions about how to grow my voice on Twitter. And he's just incredibly talented. I've had the pleasure of being on his show as well. But in clip 12, he really unpacks some of these astounding details surrounding this assassination attempt on Donald Trump. Go ahead. Secret Service spotted Trump rally shooter on roof 20 minutes before gunfire
there
erupted.
There is local law enforcement that is running around telling people, get out of here.
Like, hey, man, there's guy on the roof with a rifle. And the police are like, huh, what?
You know there's a threat. You got the former president of the United States 130 yards behind you. Maybe you should get him notified and off the stage, too. Apparently that doesn't happen. Imminent fucking threat. Real serious now. 48 hours from that event to the RNC. And if that bullet is 1 inch different, then you have a different nominee. If you think that timing is just coincidental, okay, maybe. If you think the FBI, which spied on him before he was even the president of the United States, Biden's dealings with Ukraine, and the corruption of Biden as vice president.
If the prosecutor's not fired, you're not getting the money. Oh, son of a bitch.
They impeach him for that. Is because he was being accused of treason. And then you have the media lying about him and calling him a tyrant and a fascist and a dictator in waiting. And then you have the Whitmer kidnapping hoax, where you have the FBI that's setting up Trump supporters to try and criminalize his base. Then you have J6, where you have a bunch of informants and plainclothes police officers that are encouraging people to go inside. But you think that all of these things might happen, but they wouldn't consider, no, nor they wouldn't even dare take a shot at Donald Trump. I'm not so sure. In fact, I think that the logical, rational progression of analysis here is to say exactly that, that they tried everything, and then they tried the last thing, and they failed.
So first, they try to kill him. Then they try to cover up that they tried to kill him. Then they tried to say that if he exploits the fact that they tried to kill him, it's because he's Mussolini, he's a dictator. All after saying he might not have even been shot. It could have been shrapnel. Remember that? All after the media said, after loud noises were heard, Trump walked off the stage. They had a stand down in the media for 7 hours. They wouldn't even call it an assassination. Joe Biden came out that night and said he wasn't prepared to use the word assassination attempt. They are trying to neutralize this as much as possible instead of calling attention to the fact that it's a terrible problem for our nation, our republic, no matter what your political persuasion is, that political leaders who are highly competitive, by far incredibly popular, if it's anyone, it's important. But when you have leading political candidates so vulnerable to attack, that is where we should be focusing. That is where we on both parties should be looking. But they're trying to memory hole this whole entire thing, and they're trying to recharacterize the shooter himself as a right winger, as a Trump supporter, so they can not only claim that the deep state wasn't behind it, that the leftists weren't behind it, but now they're trying to claim that the Democratic Party and voters and people weren't even associated with it. They're trying to make Trump's assassination his own fault. It's absolutely ridiculous to the point where it's not just worthy of ridicule, but it's like sick. if this had happened to Joe Biden, I still wouldn't vote for him. But I would be absolutely fighting against any notion that he should have been assassinated, any claim that this was a fluke thing. I would be looking into it and reporting. We would all be talking about this and saying, when you get to the bottom of this, I wouldn't vote for Joe Biden if this had happened to him. But we would be fighting for justice if this happened to our political opponent. But when it happens to their political opponent, then they have to just neutralize it as much as possible and put every obstacle in place possible to ensure that it's not a detriment to their political agenda, which is the conglomeration of all power and the globalization of that power at the expense of the American people so that humanity could be subjugated for the indefinite future. But this is clip number 43 here. This is Dave Pakman with his eyes too close together, going up and ranting for 2.5 minutes about the shooter, trying to just imply in the psychology of his viewers and listeners that leftists had nothing to do with this. This is all a right-wing problem. It's all these dirty Trump MAGA Republicans. Clip number 43.
There was a hearing yesterday during which we heard new details about the man who tried but failed to kill Donald Trump. We heard these details from FBI Deputy Director Paul Abate. And I have to tell you, it was not very shocking to hear that they figured out that the shooter was into some right wing stuff. You know, if it walks like a duck and it talks like a duck and it smells like a duck and it reproduces like a duck, it's probably a duck. And when we heard that the Republican son
replaced the word duck with deep state
owner with Trump signs on his lawn shot at Trump, it sure seemed like this was a right wing thing. And now we've learned, thanks to FBI testimony, that the Trump rally shooter had a social media account with anti-Semitic and anti-immigration themes and espoused political violence, all of it extreme in nature. Here's Paul Abate, the FBI deputy director, saying it himself.
Something just very recently uncovered that I want to share is a social media account which is believed to be associated with this with the shooter in about the 2019-2020 timeframe.
So he was like 15 when he had this account.
Comments posted from this account. Some of these comments, if ultimately attributable to the shooter, appear to reflect anti-Semitic and anti-immigration themes to espouse political violence and are described as extreme in nature. While the investigative team is still working to verify this account to determine if it did in fact belong to the shooter, we believe it important to share and note it today, particularly given the general absence of other information to date from social media and other sources of information that reflect on the shooter's potential motive and mindset.
Now, in hearing this, of course, a whole bunch of MAGA types have come out of the woodwork and they've said, see, we knew it. We knew that this information was going to come out later and they were going to try to pin this on the right when it was obviously a left winger that shot Trump, or it was even some kind of setup or a staged thing, none of which there is any evidence for. And at some point, you just kind of have to say, I don't know, Republican shooting Trump, AR-15, Trump-loving dad, lawn signs. It's probably a right-winger who, for whatever reason, either wanted attention or became disaffected with Trump, or Trump wasn't right-wing enough, or who knows. But there's certainly nothing.
Okay, and here's the cognitive dissonance here. We knew he was a right-winger because he had Trump signs in his front yard. Okay. So you think he's... The Trump signs mean that whoever owns the house supports Trump. If you support Trump, you don't try to shoot him in the head. So obviously, the signs are not a reflection of the values of the actual shooter. If you're a kid who lives in the basement of your parents' house and they have Trump signs outside, you might be a leftist. You might be far left wing. This idea that only Republicans have AR-15s is bizarre, obnoxious, and just simply untrue as well. This was an attack on Donald Trump by somebody who did not like, who was opposed to Donald Trump. I think this guy was MKUltra. You look at the cell phone data, people visiting him at home and at work, and then going to FBI offices in D.C. several times in the weeks leading up to this assassination attempt. This kid's a lone wolf. He's associated with Antifa, if you look into some of his other alleged social media behaviors. This is a left-wing, radicalized lunatic, and maybe he had some right-wing values. I don't know. But they think that he's right-wing simply because he said anti-Semitic things on social media when he was 15 or 16 years old. You realize that the right is more inclined to support Jewish people than the left. Right? There are people that are upset with Israel on the right. I'm an America First guy. I don't think that we should be supporting any other nation. I think all foreign aid, all foreign policy that we have is treason. I think foreign aid itself is a betrayal of a people. Why would you spend money on another country when your own people suffer in any capacity, no matter how minuscule? That is the treason. But we know that the leftists are the ones that are on the campuses, that are yelling at Owen Schroyer when he visits the campus to ask them what they're protesting about Palestine. We know that the leftist professors, the leftist students are the ones who are doing hunger strikes for Palestine. They're the ones that are coming out saying that they support Palestine. They're the ones that are using anti-Semitic rhetoric. And I understand being against the carpet bombing of the people on the Gaza Strip. Don't get me wrong. I'm not condoning it. It's terrible when any innocent person, any innocent people, any children are bombed and killed. That's not my point here. My point here is that the left is more anti-Semitic than the right. And so when you're trying to claim that someone is a right-wing extremist because they use anti-Semitic rhetoric, it's totally dishonest and manipulative because it's frankly more likely to come from the left than from the right. The only reason they get away with this lie over and over again is because they have successfully perpetuated another lie, which is that Nazis and Hitler were right-wing. Despite the fact that they were the National Socialist Party, they were absolutely socialist, and they were opposed to communism, so they were right of communism, but they were far left of capitalism. You have to keep in mind, the Nazis were so far left of capitalism and right-wing values, the way we understand them in the United States today, they were something entirely different. It was not a right-wing party. The only thing right-wing about the Nazis was some of their rhetoric about nationalism and law and order. That was the only thing that's similar to the Republican Party whatsoever. The Nazi Party was against Christianity. They were planning to replace the religion of Christianity with a Nazi version. They celebrated paganism and the occult. They loved drugs. I mean, Hitler was on countless amphetamines. He was actually addicted to the first form of oxycodone. The last 6 months he was alive, when you see footage of him shaking, it's because he's going through withdrawal because the plant that made his oxycodone had been bombed, so he didn't have it for 6 months. This is somebody who used drugs, who distributed drugs to his soldiers, who hated capitalism, shut down all of the banks, arrested many of the bankers, especially if they were Jewish, made it illegal for anybody to privately get a loan or give a loan. The only entity a bank could loan to was the state itself, the Nazi Party itself. Totally anti-capitalist, just as much as he was anti-communist. This was a left-wing dude. So his anti-Semitism does not make Hitler right-wing, and calling any anti-Semite a right-wing extremist because they attribute anti-Semitism with a right-wing Hitler is just BS. The kid was a leftist, disgruntled in his basement, probably hated his parents who supported Trump, and went to kill Trump. He was a leftist. Stop lying about it. It's as simple as that. More news on the other side, folks.
This is a make it or break it moment, so I need people to connect those synapses in their brain for you to make a decision. If you don't support InfoWars, we will be shut down. And people say, well, they're constantly trying to shut you down. How are you still in the air? God. But God works through people. So we're in a paradox here where the judge says we're open for 3 more months. If we're able to get a buyer under the law, they won't be able to shut us down. I'll just work with somebody else. And that's coming. That's got to be set up. But in the meantime, if people believe the news that we're being shut down everywhere, which they tried to do and failed, by that foregone conclusion, we're shut down. And under the last federal bankruptcy manager who would not reorder product and killed all our advertising, who was positioning us to be shut down and tried to shut us down, we caught him. The judge caught him and fired him. We're almost sold out of all the products. All right? But we have a lot of great products that are still in stock, limited supplies. So I need you to go to InfoWarsStore.com. If we just had a donation button, maybe we should just do that. You're fighting for freedom in a key election, battling the globalists. We need support. But we want a long-term relationship with you. We want to be symbiotic. We want you to get great products you like, get them delivered to you quickly, and enjoy them and have them empower you and make your life better so you love them and you keep getting them. We want a relationship. show. There's the InfoWars MD line that I don't talk about enough that is all the highest quality, whether it's turmeric or whether it's natural sleep aid or whether it's saw palmetto, other compounds that are great for your prostate, also great for women's breast. It affects the same type of tissues that have those hormonal fluctuations. I'm not a doctor, but I read the literature. You need to go to InfoWarsStore.com and go to the sections that have the whole line, over a dozen products, InfoWars MD. We've got Ashwagandha Gummy. Relaxes you, makes you feel really relaxed with no downer feeling. Amazing. An incredible product. Good Night Sleep. We have a lot of great sleep aids. This one's excellent. They're all different formulas. People love it. Good Night Sleep. InfoWars MD. Ashwagandha with black pepper, which relaxes you and makes you lose weight. These are all concentrates. Joint Relief Max works really well. Great pain relief. Huge bottle of it. You know, jam-packed. It's there. Joint Relief Max. InfoWars MD. Prostate support. Already mentioned that. This is just a top formula. Super high quality. Organic. Nerve Renew. Amazing. To get your nerves, not to kill pain, but to get your nerves healthy. Nitric Boost. Vitamin Refusion about to sell out. About to sell out. Real Red Pill Plus. And something I never talk about and should talk about more, Probiotic Fiber. A super high-end product at a low price at InfoWarsStore.com. Thank you all for your support.
I would rather be oppressed by the Nazis.
Thank you. Hi, everybody.
I would rather just have some Soviet commissar with his boot on my neck and just saying, do what I say or die. And it's just like, ooh, okay, I get this. This is straightforward. Yes, sir. Please don't kill me. I prefer that over whatever this is.
Push for systemic change.
I would choose straightforward, manly oppression over this preschool baby talk.
As white people, we have a lot to learn and unlearn.
Just say you'll kill me. Just do it. Whatever this pathetic vocal fry cat lady librarian bullcrap is, I don't like it.
It's for the greater good.
While other networks lie to you about what's happening now, InfoWars tells you the truth about what's happening next.
Israel. I'm just getting tired of us funding everybody's wars.
The reason they're having so much problems is they literally walked into the fight that Hamas wanted to have. They didn't go with that plan, largely because the Pentagon gave them pressure not to. I'm shocked at how subjugated even the IDF was to the Biden Pentagon. 50% of the loitering munitions that are launched from the north, from Hezbollah-controlled areas, are getting through.
I did not realize that.
It's a huge problem. And it's dinging them hard.
Wow.
So they built this magnificent high fence, but the very low level kind of nap of the earth loitering munition is causing real problems.
Interesting.
So it's an example of it's very dangerous to assume.
Speaking of Israel, how many times have you been over there since October 7th?
I was there a couple times in November, December. Because I was trying to get them. There's one thing I understand is military bureaucracies. and there's a reason stereotypes exist. And the IDF has a lot of brave but stubborn people. And I knew they'd have a problem with the tunnels. And I didn't think they'd have a pretty good idea of the technology that's grown in directional horizontal drilling. And so I brought them a solution. Because I think the reason they're having so much problems is they literally walked into the fight that Hamas wanted to have. Hamas wants to maximize civilian casualties and to draw them into urban combat. And so the amount of bombing that the Israelis have done in and around civilians, whatever the number is, Hamas says it's this number, IDF says it's this number, it's really, really giving them a black eye in the international media. And I was trying to prevent that. And prevent civilians from getting killed in the crossfire of all this bombing by bringing the best of Texas in horizontal drilling to flood the tunnels, and had, I mean, even 12,000 horsepower turbine engines driving pumps moving 60,000 gallons a minute. So you're filling an Olympic swimming pool in a few seconds. To be able to drill horizontally, and once you hit tunnels, to just flood it. So it would have done three things. Flooded all their underground arms caches, would have prevented them using tunnels for maneuver, and three, some say, well, it would have drowned the hostages. No, it would have forced them to move the hostages because they don't want dead hostages. Dead hostages are worth nothing to Hamas. They'd have to move them. It would have at least taken away the underground fight because there was no civilians, maybe hostages, but there's no civilians in those tunnels. And they didn't go with that plan, largely because the Pentagon gave them pressure not to. I'm shocked at how subjugated even the IDF was to the Biden Pentagon. And so it's ugly. Hamas is still not defeated. They're now, what, 9 months past October 7, and it's still not resolved? It's too bad.
It seems to be growing.
Yes. Well, and with what the Houthis are doing, shutting off the Red Sea, Egypt is losing $800 million a month, okay, in toll fees. The Arab street in Egypt is extremely now hostile to Israel. Even the Christians in Egypt, hostile to Israel, because of the video, right? The nonstop Al Jazeera pro-Palestinian, pro-Hamas propaganda. And the Israelis blundered into it. It was stupid. It was stupid. They should have, Hamas would not have been expecting to turn Gaza into a duck impoundment. And I'm doing that, and I advocated that to protect civilians from the inevitability of combat, not to hurt them. If it's one thing I understand is moving water. Having built Blackwater on 7,000 acres of land as flat as your kitchen table, we had to move a lot of water.
Yeah, I bet. Why are we behind Israel?
There's been a historic long-term alliance as a democracy in the Middle East. And
is this a one-sided alliance?
There's a lot of tech that comes out of Israel that the U.S. benefits from. Pretty good intel, I would say, as well.
So I know a lot of people really like Eric Prince. I've got serious reservations or mixed feelings. So I don't know him, and I'm not about to go on the air and speak negatively of this man. He seems like a patriot. He's probably a good guy. But he is very involved in an industry riddled with corruption and deep state integration and war. I mean, Blackwater's famous, very controversial. There have been some reports of information being covered up regarding certain behaviors and the wars overseas over the course of the last 20 years. But this is somebody who's intimately involved in these military operations, and I'm not prepared to say that he's controlled opposition or that he's bad or evil or part of the deep state. I don't want to make that claim because it would just be irresponsible for me to say something so reckless about him and disparage him when he could very well be a hero who is fighting the good fight for our country and our people, and he's trying to be the good on the surface that is the medium of the deep state and influence the deep state to be better. He's done a lot of great work on his own, so I'm not going to berate him at all. But this angle and this perspective and this conversation, the way that Israel is approached, or the way that Iraq or Afghanistan or Libya, any of these conflicts are approached, Ukraine, by our government and our military-industrial complex. And he's part of the military-industrial complex. I'm not trying to say that he is the military-industrial complex, but when you have a mercenary company that's involved in wars that does federal contracts, that's the military-industrial complex. This rhetoric has to shift away from the neocon philosophy that the United States somehow needs to be involved. And we have to shift away from making the claim, as whether we're civilians or politicians, that we care at all about democracy. First of all, we're not a democracy. Second of all, we obviously don't care about democracy. I mean, how many times has our own deep state or military industrial complex established a coup in a foreign nation where elected leaders were taken out and dictators were put in? I mean, look at Zelensky, for example. So we're not a democracy. We don't care about democracy whatsoever. And so why would we get involved in these conflicts for these countries that aren't even actually democracies? And I guess Israel, one could argue, is a form of, has a form of government that has some semblance of democracy in it, but they're going through a lot of their own internal corruption problems, political civil war problems there. It's, we have to stop acting like these countries who it's convenient for us to support somehow have some moral superiority over countries that our nation opposes. Perfect example of this is Russia. So I don't know if Vladimir Putin is a good person or a bad person. I don't know if he's a hero or a villain. He's probably both. Obviously, they've done things in Russia like had journalists arrested and they silence opposition. It's not exactly a free country. It's much more free than it was under the USSR. But when you look at what Putin has done to Ukraine and why, there's a reasonable case that it was in the best interest of his people. I'm not saying definitively that it is. But there's a reasonable case, there's a reasonable explanation for what he's done other than the explanation that we're given. And there's also a reasonable argument that Russia is every bit, if not more, a democracy or a democratic system than Ukraine, whose leaders have been installed by the CIA for 10 years now, since the Civil War broke out in 2014, since we betrayed the leader at the time and installed another one. It just shifted from being a proxy of Russia to a proxy of the United States in the last 10 years. And that's why there's this war going on between the United States and Russia through Ukraine, through the proxy, the satellite that is Ukraine. That's where the conflict is. But think about what Putin has done to Ukraine. He invaded it in the name of national security. And a lot of innocent people have died and a lot of people have been displaced. Now think about what we did in Afghanistan and think about what we, the United States, did in Iraq, where our own government lied to us about weapons of mass destruction being in Iraq to get political support to justify an invasion and an occupation for decades, well, at least over a dozen years, where hundreds of thousands of civilians died. It's estimated that, I believe, somewhere around 500,000 civilians died between the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan for the duration that the United States was involved. So we criticize and attack Putin for what he's doing to Ukraine after we just spent 20 years doing the exact same thing for worse reasons. So this idea that Ukraine has moral superiority over Russia, or that the United States has moral superiority, as not the American people, but the government of the United States has moral superiority. I'm not prepared to say that Vladimir Putin is good, but I am prepared to say that he's not any worse than any of our guys. And so this idea that Israel is this noble nation of moral superiority surrounded by a great degree of eviler countries is difficult for me to believe. And we have to abandon this notion that certain groups of people are just inherently more good or evil than others. Because it's not true. We're all the equal amount of evil. We're all capable of doing what the Nazis did. We're all capable of doing what terrorists do. We're all capable of committing crimes against humanity and atrocities and torture and just terrible acts of evil. It's within all of us, and it's our responsibility and our business between God and ourselves to fight against that, to wrestle that, to try to become better people. But we use this excuse of moral superiority of our allies to justify, over and over again, we have for decade after decade, to justify our involvement in these conflicts that only serve to escalate violence, that only serve to escalate the injustices of war, where things like torture happen and civilians are killed and hostages are totally neglected. And I don't for a minute think that our military-industrial complex or our politicians support Israel because their heart goes out to a democracy surrounded by tyrannies. And I don't for a minute think that our military-industrial complex or our political leadership in the know genuinely believes that the government in Israel, not the people, the government had no idea this attack was coming, even though it was 50 years to the date after Yom Kippur. It was an anniversary of a major war between Israel and its enemies. Those are the dates that terrorists choose to attack again. It's always on the anniversary. Not always, but often on the anniversary. And I don't for a minute believe that they were totally caught off guard and surprised by this attack. I think it was a terrorist attack by Hamas. I believe Hamas is a terrorist organization. I believe that the majority of people in the Gaza Strip support Hamas, certainly now that Israel has carpet-bombed them incessantly. I believe that it was funded by Iran, who's also backed by China and Russia, because this conflict is about who controls the region that our dollar itself is based off of. But I also believe that for as long as 2 years before this attack happened on Israel, they knew it was coming at the highest levels. The New York Times has reported this. The plans were given to Mossad. They knew. I also believe that they stood down for upwards of 7 hours after this attack started, despite the fact that Israel is a very small country that you can fly across instantly. I believe that the leaders allowed their innocent civilians to be the victims of rape and kidnapping and murder because they knew that it would give them the political excuse in the landscape of international politics to eradicate the people of the West Bank and the Gaza Strip entirely. I think that they want to kill them all. I really do. I believe that. The government of Israel. Because they understand that Israel will never be stable as long as it's surrounded by radical extremists. And the stability of Israel is necessary if we are to compete with forces like Iran or China or Russia, whose entire national security policy is dead set on undermining the dollar as the global reserve currency because the dollar is how we regulate them. It's how we sanction them. And we've abused that power so much over the course of the last 50, 67 years that we've created such bitterness in places like Iran, China, Russia, and others for the United States. And they understand that our ability to influence the region is in large because of Israel's relationship with us, friendship with us. And so consequently, they absolutely hate Israel. And they can't attack us because we're an ocean away, but they can certainly harm us through Israel. That's what's going on. And so we pretend to support Israel because we think Israel is morally superior. Because we pretend that we hate terrorism so much, even though we allow terrorist attacks to happen all over the world and to us time and time again when it's politically expedient for us to do so. When the fact of the matter is the only reason we support Israel is because our money is a lie and we have to prop it up by forcing oil to be traded using dollars. And these wars will always happen so long as we abuse the power of the global reserve currency, which is inevitably going to collapse. I don't know when it's going to happen. It seems like it's going to happen very soon. And that's why the globalists have come together, whether it's NATO or the UN or the WEF, to try to establish with the International Monetary Fund this global central bank digital currency because they know that our fiat is going to collapse. They know that we're going to lose the global reserve status eventually. It's inevitable. And when that happens, they want a new system of control in place because it will be devastating, suffering, and chaos for billions of people the world over when that happens, far worse than the Great Depression in 1929 through the 30s. And the more our government prints and spends and uses this system that is itself an injustice, it's a way to tax us without taxing us by just printing money and stealing our buying power, the more we lie with every transaction that we conduct as a people, the more we have to pay with interest because of those lies. And so many innocent people, hundreds of thousands, millions have died as a result of this bad economic policy. Because our politicians sold us out and lied to us and stole our buying power from us and forced Nixon to get us off of the gold standard by overprinting money beyond the capacity of the gold we had to back it. So I'm terrified to see what's going to happen. in the world. I really do think that we are on the cusp of World War III. I don't think World War III will break out immediately in a nuclear exchange. I could be wrong about this. I'm by no means an expert on this. I think that we'll see hundreds of thousands of soldiers die before it escalates to nuclear. But this is not sustainable. And one of the things that baffles me about the green energy argument, the Green New Deals that are suggested, the policies that are suggested to try to get the world completely independent of fossil fuels, is the fact that if we tomorrow suddenly did not need fossil fuels, like imagine if a device came out and they partnered with SpaceX, and SpaceX was allowed to, capable of putting thousands more satellites in orbit with solar panels that could wirelessly transmit electrical power from outer space to the surface of the planet in a way that made us so we never needed fossil fuels ever again in any way. If the demand for fossil fuels went to zero, you realize that the dollar would collapse because oil is the reason the dollar has any value. And if the dollar collapses, since it's the global reserve currency, that means that every other major currency in the world collapses as well, except for perhaps the ruble or the yen, or a central bank digital currency that has been beta tested by a CIA-backed blockchain technology through Bitcoin. They've tested it and proven that the technology works for transactions, and then they're going to use that technology for a new currency. Bitcoin isn't the problem, but the tech behind it is going to be weaponized against us. After this epic collapse happens of our dollar, it's like, why are they pushing for green energy when they know that if they accomplish the green energy thing, it's going to destroy the planet, like overnight, economically, just eradicate the economies of the world, all the major economies of the world. And when that happens, there's almost always a world war. I mean, look what happened after the last depression. World wars were used by nation after nation in order to spur and catalyze manufacturing and get them out of it. The Nazis did it in Germany. They got out of their depression because they funded the manufacturing and the weaponization and the arming of Germany, and then started invading countries like globalists. In the United States, when we got involved in World War II, ramped up our manufacturing. It was crazy. It snapped us out of the Great Depression. So when the next depression happens, when the next global economic collapse happens, our political elite are going to be looking very seriously at World War III as a solution. And they're going to simultaneously have a new system in place, because when economies collapse, when currencies totally collapse to the point of utter failure, historically, they're replaced. I mean, the Weimar Republic, their currency collapsed, and the Nazis came in and issued a whole new monetary system. That it was a great reset. It was a reset of their entire monetary system. So when this collapse happens, knowing that it's in no way salvageable, there's going to be a new currency. They might even still call it the dollar, but it will no longer be the dollar. It'll be backed by blockchain technology. We'll force all of our partners who have globalized, NATO, WEF, UN, and others, will force them to adopt it while China and Iran and Russia refuse. And since they've leveraged the BRICS nations in support of them, they're going to compete with our central bank digital currency, with their own currency. I don't know whether it's going to be a digital yen or Russia's currency or some other currency that doesn't exist yet. And that is going to be the new World War III for economic control, while a real physical hot World War III breaks out with boots on the ground as an excuse to spur up this new currency, to get the ball rolling, to get momentum behind this new currency, all while all of your transactions are totally controlled. Because with blockchain technology, if it's used in a centralized way, if it's manipulated and abused, if it's counter to the actual philosophy behind it, they can control what you spend your money on. Not just how much money you have. You could have $1 million in the bank. They could say you're only allowed to spend $100 this month on groceries, even if you have $1 million, because your transactions will not be approved beyond that $100 limit. They can actually assign what of your own dollars you can use on what thing. So this is how much you're allowed to spend on fossil fuels. This is how much you're allowed to spend on groceries. This is how much you're allowed to spend on your house or gasoline or a car or a new television, or how many times you're allowed to, how much money you're allowed to spend at restaurants. And when they have total control over every transaction, where they can not only see and spy on every transaction that you conduct, but actually control every transaction that you conduct, that is how they can force you to use their new monetary system in the face of a total collapse. That is how they can set up the post-collapse world to be their globalist dystopia under their control without the risk of people establishing their own capitalistic free currencies, free markets. Because traditionally speaking, when there's a major collapse in an economy or a civilization, it's fairly unpredictable what will come of it. A lot of times, countries splinter up into very many different countries, right? So the Soviet Union collapses. Russia is shattered to a certain extent. And many nations that were a part of the Soviet Union are their own nations now. When Rome was collapsing, pieces of it broke off. Now there's not even a country called Rome. There's several countries that were Rome thousands of years ago. That it's a completely different system. When the collapse happened in the 20s, in Germany, the Nazi Party, which only had 1 in 40 Germans as a part of it, seized all power within 4 years. Totally unprecedented, totally unpredicted. It was unpredictable what would happen. And knowing that the outcome of a total collapse is traditionally a random outcome, a wild card, they have established a system that exists now that is not activated so they can be the first ones to usher in a solution to this collapse and weaponize that solution to not only start World War III, but to control every single human being on the earth in every way possible. So I don't want to be involved in these wars. I don't want to give any money to any foreign nations. I don't want to support Ukraine or Russia. I don't want to support Hamas or Israel. I don't want to support Taiwan or China. I want an America that insists on being America first. I want economic policy that brings our dollar back to some standard. And I want an American economy that is not dependent on our enemies for things like pharmaceuticals, medicine, and virtually every product that our people need to live their lives as the American people, as successful, prosperous people. We need an America first agenda now more than ever. If we don't go populist in 2024, we're going globalist in 2024. And everything is on the line, folks. Stay with us for more news on the other side. We're going to be taking your calls. I'll give out the number at the beginning of the hour.
I do want to tell you about InfoWars MD. Discover the newest line of supplements from InfoWars designed to boost vitality and enhance overall well-being, available exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. Whether you're looking to support immune health, improve cognitive function, or increase energy levels, our meticulously crafted formulas cater to diverse needs. We have Ageless Vitality Collagen, Superfood Greens, Mushroom Max, Turmeric 95, Better Mood Plus, Libido RX, CBD, Full Spectrum 10 and 25 milligram gummies, as well as so much more. The premium InfoWars Life line. It's InfoWars MD, and it's available now 25% off at InfoWarsStore.com. I suggest the collagen, and just search it yourself. I'm not going to make any medical claims here, but search the importance of collagen in the aging process and see why taking collagen as a supplement can be perhaps the most powerful thing you do to reverse the signs of aging. Everybody buys the Life Select storable food, which has a 25-year shelf life, just in case of an emergency. Frankly, it's cheaper to eat the Life Select storable food than it is to get groceries in Biden's economy. Then they don't buy the Alexa Pure water filter in conjunction with the storable food. My thinking is, like, how are you going to prepare the food if you don't have clean water? They go hand in hand. You got to get both. What do you think, Jacob?
You look at every post-apocalyptic movie in the library, the most powerful person has water. I'm a well driller. So we have actually a pretty sound filtration system, but sure. I recommend to people that can't have the complex system like I have to get the Alexa Pure.
Thank you so much for your call. Super important call, Jacob. I appreciate it. I encourage everyone listening now to go to InfoWarsStore.com. Get the Life Select storable food. Get the Alexa Pure water filter as well, because you want to make sure that you have the ability to prepare that food with clean, pure water. Go to InfoWarsStore.com. Be the reason that we're still on the air.